Hi everyone, I'm Gary Knoll. We have a lot to share. Got a very powerful commentary that I felt was necessary to share with you. And that's because a lot of people are confused, and rightly so. We have multiple crises hitting us. We don't know who to believe, what to believe. And as a result, a lot of Americans, not all by any means, but they're in a position of apathy. They kind of are overwhelmed. And when you get overwhelmed, you frequently withdraw. And then you just watch television or, you know, watch the internet. But then none of that is helpful. So I'm going to try to put it into a different perspective, all of it. That includes the cancel culture, the technocrats, the governmental agencies overseeing our lives and wanting more and more control, the media. I'm going to try to wrap all that up into a commentary today. But before then, I'm going to share a more comprehensive, in-depth information on health and healing. And I want to thank the good people at the Life Extension Anti-Aging Foundation because they're one of the major sources that is credible. They have some outstanding people working for them who have good, strong scientific backgrounds. And I was just reading some of their articles, and I'm going to share some, including one from Michael Downey. And I'm going to share that. I'm also going to share one on autophagy. This is a very important way to restore youthful cell functioning. And this is from Celia Simmons. So I want to thank the good people over there. So first of all, most people are deficient when tested in magnesium. And that they shouldn't be. If there's one nutrient you really need, it's magnesium. And it is probably your most single important mineral. Yes, some will say zinc is, and zinc is a really powerful nutrient, especially in protecting your immune system. But just on magnesium alone, there are more than 300 enzymes that are performing absolutely necessary functions throughout your body. Magnesium causes that to happen. For example, magnesium is important if you want to build strong and healthy bones, if you want to produce energy, and if you want to synthesize proteins. But it also is one of the single most important, if not the most important, nutrient for your heart. And that means if you're taking the right amount and the right type of magnesium, I'm going to get into that, then you lessen your chance of having heart attacks and strokes. I was counseling someone who was a runner. Vegan, healthy, but he did a lot of running, and we were talking, and he said, "I can't stop doing the long distance training." And I said, "But you're not racing anymore the way you used to." He said, "No." I said, "Well, then you should not be doing more than 4 miles a day." Remember what I just said: 4 miles a day. When it used to be, we would do 10 miles because we'd run together. Just to loosen up. That was half of our workout that day, and we were doing this almost every day. So we were up at some really high numbers on average per week for decades. And then he ended up with some injuries, and so helped him with his injuries, overcame the injuries, but then he developed AFib. AFib is very common among long-distance runners. Probably 20% develop it. Now, there's a whole spectrum of AFib. If you have really hard AFib, where you can feel it, you can feel your heart beating, and there's too much space in between the beats, that's when you run the risk of developing clots in the heart. But then on the other end of that, if you keep your blood thin, and if you take the right nutrients, and if you keep your arteries pliable and open, then you have a milder form of AFib. And therefore, you can live an otherwise normal life. Of course, the cardiologists want everyone to take one of their procedures. There's two surgical procedures, and one where they shock the heart to stop. And that's not one that I would go for. But they want to get you on blood thinners. Then when you read the package insert, two of the side effects, just two of a long page of side effects from the most popular blood thinners, are stroke and heart attack. Well, that makes no sense. That's like taking an antidepressive or anti-anxiety medication, that the number one side effect is depression or anxiety. But that's all they know. There's lots of natural ways of helping your heart. So the very first thing is magnesium, because I've seen people reverse AFib when they have a really healthy heart protocol. Now, you can come in and out of AFib until you develop that regularity. And then generally most people that I know stay out of AFib. So magnesium deficiency is absolutely common. The National Health and Nutrition Examination survey showed 48% of Americans of all ages are below their required intake. So what happens when you have too little magnesium? That's not good. You increase your risk of cardiovascular disease, including stroke, coronary artery disease, heart failure, arrhythmias, and death. Now, high blood levels of magnesium are associated with lower cardiovascular disease risk, and that's where we want to go. And that's why I'm doing a little longer segment on this than normal, because we really want to save lives. Now, there are some hidden dangers of low magnesium. You can find magnesium if you have a healthy plant-based diet. You'll find it in leafy vegetables, the whole grains, the beans, the nuts. And if you're not a vegan, you can find it in fish and yogurt as well. But it's difficult to get and absorb enough from dietary sources alone. Approximately 64% of all men and 67% of women in the United States have an adequate dietary intake of magnesium. And among those above 70 years of age, 81% of men and 82% of women, you're deficient in magnesium. That's a really serious problem, because magnesium is involved in critical metabolic functions. This means that a lot of the things occurring every millisecond in your body function depend upon adequate magnesium. And adequate magnesium is especially important for healthy and efficient functioning heart muscle and the blood vessels. In fact, recent human studies confirm a strong association between low magnesium levels and higher heart disease risks. But when it comes to arrhythmias, and that's a big deal out there, people with low magnesium levels are more susceptible to developing arrhythmias. And that's one of the things I believe happens when people are running a lot. Because the more you run, the more magnesium you use. And if you don't replenish it, then that's where you have the potential for fatal disorder of heart rhythms. Arrhythmias involve abnormal conditions of the electrical impulses that govern heartbeat, causing a beat that is irregular, too fast, or too slow. In atrial fibrillation, an irregular and often rapid heartbeat is a leading cause of cardiac causes of strokes. This happens when a fluttering atrial chamber in the heart causes a clot or thrombosis, the form that travels up a carotid artery and blocks blood flow to a portion of the brain. This is called an ischemic stroke. The term ischemia means no blood flow. And one large study found that people with the lowest blood magnesium levels were 50% more likely to develop atrial fibrillation than those with the highest levels. And magnesium intake, if you're taking the right amount, is shown to correct low magnesium-related arrhythmias. So that's important. And oral magnesium is often recommended for those with arrhythmias and low magnesium levels. And also it helps fight endothelial dysfunction. Now, you might not have ever heard of endothelial dysfunction. It occurs when the cells lining the inside walls of blood vessels, the endothelium, lose normal healthy function. This promotes the formation of artery-blocking plaque, resulting in atherosclerosis, a narrowing of the arteries that restrict blood flow. In cultured human endothelial cells, magnesium deficiency activates the protein complex NFKB, which stands for nuclear factor kappa B, a major facilitator of atherosclerosis. But in randomized controlled human trials, women aged 40 to 65, all of whom had high blood pressure and were on diuretic therapy, took either placebo or 600 milligrams of magnesium a day. After 6 months, those taking magnesium had significantly improved their endothelial function, which led to reduction in some blood pressure and increased blood vessel dilation, meaning widening of the arteries, which is good. And the systolic blood pressure fell on average from 144 mmHgs to 134, and diastolic blood pressure decreased from 88 to 81. Now, that's just one nutrient. There are a lot of other things that will lower, like garlic and onions, quercetin, vitamin C, L-carnitine, coenzyme Q10, cayenne. A lot of other things, if you also take, can bring your blood pressure down to completely normal status. In addition to the thickness of the carotid artery, a measure of unhealthy arterial thickening, rose in patients who were in the placebo group. And also, you don't want heart failure. It occurs when the heart doesn't pump enough blood to meet the body's needs. Currently, there are about 6 million adults in the United States with heart failure. In one study, 22 patients with symptomatic chronic heart failure were given 800 milligrams of magnesium a day for 3 months. They produced significant increases in arterial compliance. That's a measure of how well an artery can relax and contract in response to blood flow. Now, that suggests improved endothelial function and improved ability of the arteries to deliver oxygen-rich blood to the target organs. And then the blood levels of magnesium are also associated with cardiovascular risk. So in all these studies, there's a greater risk of heart failure when you do not have enough magnesium. So the key is, let's get enough magnesium. And also, a lot of the heartburn drugs are actually causing dangerously low magnesium. And that's unfortunate, because the Food and Drug Administration has advised doctors to check patients' magnesium levels before prescribing medications such as proton pump inhibitors, or PPIs. And the proton pump inhibitors, like Prevacid and Prilosec and Nexium, are taken for the treatment of heartburn, which is also called gastroesophageal reflux disease, or GERD. And by the way, one of the causes of that, from my own research at the Institute of Biology years ago, coffee. You know, worst thing you can do in the morning is take coffee. Now, if you want to get the benefits of the green coffee bean, then just take a supplement made from the organic green coffee bean. That's fine. You won't get GERD from that. But drinking coffee, terrible. And yet there are some scientific studies that show, well, you've got caffeine and that will dilate, you know, the blood vessels, increase circulation. Yeah, and it's an artificial way of doing it, and it's not healthy. In fact, a scientific review of 35 studies over an 8-year period showed that taking the proton pump inhibitors causes low magnesium levels. So let's reduce inflammation in our endothelium. That magnesium does. In fact, it also reduces high blood pressure, and I've given you that, and lowering heart attack and stroke risks. There were 241,000 participants in a research project that found that every 100 milligrams of magnesium in the daily diet was associated with 8% lower risk of stroke. Ah, there's your plant-based diet protecting your heart. And also, with coronary heart disease, we want to not have that, because it's the leading cause of death in men and women in the United States. So magnesium intake has been shown to improve heart function and exercise tolerance in patients with coronary artery disease. And probably the person that deserves the credit, because he really is a brilliant physician and food scientist, is Dr. Dean Ornish. In fact, I filmed him in my last documentary on health, and he had raised the bar so high that he took 9 patients whose heart was gone. They had to have a heart transplant. Nothing they were going to take would help their heart condition, or they would die. And not a one of them died, and they all reversed their end-stage heart condition. That's how powerful the diet can be. In fact, in one study, scientists gave 53 men with coronary artery disease 365 milligrams of oral magnesium citrate twice a day. After 6 months, they had improved oxygen utilization during exercise and greater pumping action in their left ventricle, the heart's main pumping chamber. And these effects indicate that magnesium improved blood flow and oxygen delivery to these patients. Well, that's just about as good as you get. All right? So that's our class on the air today on that. But I just want to go a little further because I'm a big believer in autophagy, A-U-T-O, autophagy, P-H-A-G-Y. And why is that important? Well, because with age, inside your cells, you accumulate damage. You accumulate damaged proteins and other debris, and that impairs your youthful function. Now, just imagine when you're eating junk food and you're eating nothing that's good for you in that junk food, that's all garbage in the cells. Now, we are blessed by having a built-in process that removes these toxic waste products to make room for healthy internal regeneration. And that natural cell house cleaning is called autophagy. Autophagy declines with age, and a good diet will help, but a poor diet even causes more of your cells to be damaged, and you simply speed up the aging and disease process. Now, animal studies show that simulating autophagy leads to improvements in healthy lifespan, meaning you're living longer. And that's where the good scientists over at the Life Extension Institute work with a group that identify plant extracts that correlate to improved autophagy. Just so you understand, every cell in your body contains proteins and other components that serve vital metabolic processes, from regulating cellular function to facilitating biochemical reactions. But when you're young, your cell machinery and its built-in cleansing process, that's the autophagy, work at peak efficiency. This enables younger cells to clean up their metabolic waste. The literal definition of autophagy is self-eating. In this process, the cell consumes and breaks down old cellular parts and debris. This normal autophagy process supports healthy tissue function and promotes overall health. But aging, especially premature aging, and especially those who do not exercise and are on a bad diet, this slows down the process. The result is that the cell health and functions rapidly decline. This autophagy decline has been linked with many diseases of older age. So how do we change this? Well, in recent years, scientists investigating ways to maximize lifespan and reduce risk of chronic disease have increased focus on this. And in several animal studies, stimulating autophagy led to increased longevity. And one study activated autophagy in mice by altering gene expression. The lifespan of these mice was extended by an average of 17.2%. This would be the equivalent of increasing the lifespan in a human from 78 to 92. I repeat, from 78 to 92. And these animals didn't just live longer, they also were healthier. They maintained a lower body weight. So, you know, this is how it works. And you can do this with intermittent fasting, which I mentioned on yesterday's program, and caloric restriction. See, when you're eating a healthy plant-based diet, they're not dense in calories. But when you eat an average typical lunch in a fast food restaurant, it's loaded with calories that the body cannot really benefit from. Too much protein, too much carbohydrate, too much sugar, too much fat. So when you eat a healthy, clean diet, and you also engage in intermittent fasting, that also, and physical exercise, stimulates autophagy. So at the cellular level, two regulatory proteins play a key role in controlling autophagy, mTOR, T-O-R, and AMPK. The protein mTOR TOR, acts as a nutrient sensor. And when caloric intake is high and nutrients are abundant, TOR is activated and shuts off autophagy. Inhibiting excess TOR activity, on the other hand, can lead to increased autophagy, removing of cellular waste. So these are just some of the things that we can do. Just remember, go back to the beginning. Just imagine that no one would want to go into a home or apartment where there is no flushable toilet, where there's no waste baskets, where there's no drain. That's what happens when you have junk in the diet. So what can we do when it comes to cellular senescence? And by the way, cellular senescence is when your cells are old and they're dysfunctional, but they refuse to die off to make room for new, healthier cells. Compounds called senolytics, S-E-N-O-L-Y-T-I-C-S, can remove these harmful cells from tissues. And guess what you've been doing? Without realizing, you've been enhancing your senolytic activity and hence cleaning up the body. Write it down, please. Quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, theoflavins, T-H-E-A-F-L-A-V-I-N-S, and apigenin, A-P-I-G-E-N-I-N. And together with recently bioavailable fistin, F-I-S-E-T-I-N, they work synergistically. And then they get your senolytics up and autophagy working. That helps fight aging. And by the way, another nutrient that really is good is called lutein, L-U-T-E-O-L-I-N. It protects your brain and body. It belongs to the flavonoid group of plant nutrients. It's found in several fruits and vegetables and herbs, including especially broccoli and parsley and the herb thyme. And it's been shown to both increase the AMPX activity and inhibit TOR signaling. The cumulative effect is that autophagy is activated and cellular metabolism is improved. And that also helps the brain, protects the brain. And also you have a compound that comes from the long pepper plant. It's called peperlonganemans. It's important, like lutein, it's shown to work by increasing autophagy. So autophagy can be dealt with, and it's important, and there's good science, and it's just one more way that you can slow down the aging process. That's our Classroom on the Air today. We went 23 minutes. We're going to take a break, come right back with a very important commentary, and please share the commentary if you agree with it.